we wish to think about together is from the passage we read, Matthew 20, verse 31, if you wish, the prayer of those blind men. Have mercy on us, O Lord. We want to consider that under the title, Nothing But Mercy. It's a prayer that we all need because we often have wrong views, false understandings of what we are able to do. We think that we can come up with answers and solutions. And this even shows up in spiritual ways, right? We want change, so we work at it. We want revival, so we try and make things happen. We want spiritual liveliness. We covet what others have had, or maybe what we see others have today. And so we begin to work for things, and we determine what it is that we need, and we set about, as it were, a list of things to accomplish. And we might achieve a degree of what we see as progress. But then it doesn't last. Or it doesn't change anything. Or it doesn't work. And we wonder what went wrong. Will you imagine these men trying to heal themselves? Yes, they recognize the problem. But they could apply some medication and it wouldn't work. Wouldn't last. Wouldn't change anything. Their prayer teaches us a lot if we start with that in mind. Because it's a humble recognition. Even as they cry out for nothing but mercy, it's a humble awareness of who they are. They know who they are. You can imagine the scene, right? Jesus and his disciples are leaving the city of Jericho. They're coming towards Christ's time in Jerusalem, where he's going to be betrayed and condemned to death. And there's this great crowd following them, and the crowd's large and it's noisy, and they want to see the next sign, the next miracle. And they're following the road out of town. And they meet these two men, two blind men sitting. These men can't see Jesus. They certainly can't see the miracles that the crowd wants to see. They can't even, as it were, stand up and follow by sight. These blind men are needy. They're rejected by the world that's passing by on the road every day. But they can hear, and they hear this crowd coming, and they hear it's Jesus, and their humility is evidenced by not just their situation, but their prayer. Have mercy on us, O Lord. We often use the word mercy, but do we understand what it means? Mercy is an admission of need and misery. It's a confession that I have no resources and I have no ability and I need. In asking for mercy, though, it's a request for pity, because It's not asking for something specific. It's asking for mercy on the part of the other person. Compassion, we would say. Right? And mercy is different than grace. And in that, when someone asks for grace, it's admitting guilt. But mercy is not admitting guilt. It's asking for help because I'm miserable. I'm needy. And what's the prayer then as it goes out? It's yes, humble, because it's admitting need, it's admitting inability. But it's also trusting cheerfully the compassion of the person that you're asking mercy from. And so as Jesus comes by, these two men, they don't ask for silver or gold, but they ask for mercy, trusting that Jesus will know what to give them. As we begin this next season, what are we going to pray for? Who knows what we need better than we ourselves? God will know what to give us. And will we then plead for mercy because we need more than we realize, but we are trusting, we're cheerfully submitting to His compassion. Augustine's famous prayer, "Thou hast made us for Thyself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Thee," is really a plea for mercy. Right? It's no longer saying, help me to do this list of activities. No, it's mercy to stop my restlessness. Because what happens is, if we were to try and fill all these holes by ourselves, we're actually increasing our misery. We're trying to do what only God can do. We're showing rebellion, even though we might be close. Misery comes as a result of sin. We know that. Right? The sinful person is the one who's unhappy, unfulfilled, and trying the next new sin isn't the answer to escape misery. But what's the answer to the sin and inability that we have? But a plea for mercy. As people, individuals. If you don't know the salvation of God, what can you pray? But mercy that God would show compassion. As families, how can we solve our own problems? Let's pray for mercy. As a church, we need to stop trying to dig ourselves out of ditches and building our own pathways and plead for mercy. Mercy is what's going to override our sin and shame, the inability that we have. And you see, mercy also overrides pride then. Because like these men, we have to realize, what are we going to ask for? This past year, we've broken God's word. We've sinned. We've knowingly sinned. We need forgiveness. We've read the promises. We've been pointed to the promises. We may even have reminded other people of the promises. And yet we forget them so often. Right? They don't stay with us. We need the mercy of God that our lives would be transformed, not by us in some external, superficial way, but from the inside. And then our superficial, inconsistent life would be changed. See, the plea for nothing but mercy admits the recognition of need. And if you know yourself, if we know ourselves, we don't deserve this mercy. But you see, that's exactly the point of the prayer for mercy. It's admitting, I don't deserve it. But Lord, I can't see properly. Have mercy. And if we go back to this prayer of these two blind men, there's another lesson here, not just the recognition of humility and the prayer that should come from us, but they cry out for mercy. Verse 31, there's a response, but it's from the multitude. The multitude warned them that they should be quiet. It was a reproof, silence. Don't ask for mercy. And we can't be sure, but I think we can imagine the excuses and lies that Satan will use to try and stop Christ's mercy. Right? Maybe even that filled these the minds of these two blind men. You don't deserve mercy. Take care of yourself. Don't dirty the Lord with your uncleanness, your dirty hands. Don't call Him Messiah. Don't expect to hear Him to hear you. You haven't followed Him. You've just been sitting along the road. He's the great teacher. He goes and teaches multitudes. Why would He pay attention to two blind men? Right? And you can imagine all those lies that would come into their minds, and the multitude says, "Be quiet." And yet their prayer for mercy doesn't stop. What happens? Even as they're told, no more asking for mercy, they respond by asking more loudly, more dramatically, more desperately. Have mercy on us, Lord. Don't go by without showing us your mercy. We not only need your attention, we need your compassion, your generosity, your help. And they don't stop. Have mercy, Lord. There's something in the original here that we need to understand. It's an imperative. That means that these two blind men are telling the Lord what to do. Have mercy. It's a bold directive. It's not a plea. It's not a request. It's not a question. It's as it were an instruction. Lord, have mercy on us. But it's not inappropriate. It's bold, yes. But why is it not inappropriate? Because they are crying out in faith. What's their plea? It's not have mercy on us. Period. No, it's have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. You are the Messiah, the one who's come for salvation. And have mercy on us then, O Lord. And you put that in the context of everything that we know of the Lord. His mercy is infinite. It's unending. He's plenteous in mercy. His mercy flows like a river. It's impossible to empty His reservoir of mercy. It's from everlasting to everlasting. It's never going to end. It comes with no strings attached. It's free. It's sovereign. And they're just asking, yes, requesting, telling that they are ones that need some of that mercy. They don't deserve it. But because the Lord has described Himself as merciful, their plea is, send that mercy down to us. And if others tell you to be quiet, pray even more. Mercy, Lord. And how does Jesus respond? Verse 32, Jesus heard them. And He stood still, and He called them and said, "What do you want Me to do for you? What would you like?" How would you have answered that question? Right? Jesus comes and says, "What do you want?" They had already just told Him, "We need mercy." But He turns it specific. It's not the first time in the chapter someone's asked for something. You go up to verse 20. You find the mother of James and John coming, and she asked the Lord for something, and Jesus responds to her with much the same response. "What do you wish?" And she asks for her two sons to sit on Jesus' right and left in His kingdom. And His response is, that time, "You don't know what you're asking for." And she doesn't get what she's asking. And you see, we need to learn here that just because we ask for something, it doesn't mean that's what we're going to get. God doesn't even just shower mercy equally on all. Now, Romans 9 tells us, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And assuming mercy doesn't bring it. But don't ever think that doesn't mean you shouldn't cry out. No, you should cry out. Because God is ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness. And He rewards those who look to His mercy. And Jesus hears this cry of these two men, stops and says, what do you want? And they know what they want. Lord, that our eyes would be opened. But notice again, it's Lord, open our eyes. They're asking for nothing but mercy. And it's undeserved mercy, and they're persistent with this plea for mercy. Why? Because there's divine and rich supply available, and they know it. They believe it. And how does Christ respond? Verse 34. So Jesus had compassion. The plea was for mercy. Pity, compassion. And the result is Jesus has compassion. And He touched their eyes and they received their sight. Instantly healed. He's granting this life-changing request. And notice this. It all goes back to this persistent cry for mercy. What's the greatest life-changing request? Mercy, Lord. Yes, it's mercy that will forgive sins. It's mercy that will renew spiritual life. It's mercy that will open your eyes. And you can pray simply for mercy. We take all the references to mercy in Scripture. How beautiful wouldn't such a survey be? You are saved not because of your works, but according to His mercy. When you were dead in trespasses, God, being rich in mercy, made you alive. We look ahead to this next season. We don't know what's going to happen this year. But the prayer for mercy covers it all. God's a merciful God to 1,000 generations. It's mercy for all of life. Right? We go through all these prayers in a few moments. One word summary. Mercy, Lord. Right? And this is mercy for children. Mercy at home and mercy at school. It's mercy for parents and parenting and resources and balance of life. Mercy, Lord. Spiritual zeal. Right? You can't make it yourself because it'll fade away or disappear or never work. But mercy, Lord. In everything, make your requests known. And what's the result of this plea for God's mercy? Yes, their eyes received sight, but that's not the end. They rose up and followed Him. They had purpose because of His mercy. You and I are like those blind men in so many ways. We don't see things that we ought to see. We don't deserve mercy. We've been passed by. Others tell us to be quiet and leave the Lord alone. But the Lord, who's going to the cross, He's going to Jerusalem, stops and shows compassion on these two blind men. Have you cried out for mercy the same way these two men have? Should be our prayer every day. His mercy is full and free. Let's sing from Psalter 176. At this moment, we will sing stanza one. That will be followed by the prayer for the congregation. That will be followed by singing of stanza two, and so on. So let's remain seated and we'll sing stanza one of 176.
Who is a God like unto you, O Lord, a God who delights in mercy, is full of compassion, full of steadfast love and loving kindness, almighty, holy, and overflowing fountain of all that is good. We worship you, Lord, for your creation, for you have created all things, and you do govern all things by your hand, that not a hair falls from our head without your heavenly will. We worship you, for you are the God who has accomplished redemption. You have left your place of glory and come down to this world to live a life of humility and death, that we might have life and glory. What condescension, what humility. We stand in awe of you, O Lord. And Lord, we confess our sins, that we sin in thought, word, and deed. The pride of life, worldliness, and unbelief, the sins that so easily beset us, Lord, have mercy and forgive us all of our sins. We pray for the spiritual needs of our congregation, Lord. We ask you to bless all the means that are used to grow in the knowledge of our Savior, whether it's through prayer or through our devotional lives or through the preaching of your word. Lord, may we grow in grace. We ask you to remember some of the youth that have gone astray, that have broken their covenant bonds. Lord, we pray that you will have mercy on them and take pity and draw them unto yourself. We pray for those in the congregation who are going through mental struggles, through depression or anxiety. Lord, will you help each one of them that they may recover from that? Lord, we ask you to remember all of the sick. We think of Sharon and Andy Leekstra. We are thankful that Sharon has now completed her chemo treatments, but is still feeling the effects of that, the fatigue that comes along with it. And we pray that as she will await tests, that she will hear good news in due time. We pray for her husband, Andy, in Park Lane Terrace. Lord, we know that the separation is very painful for the both of them. What will you be their friend and helper? We also pray for Dirk and Willie Brunsma. Lord, we know that the desire of their heart is to love you more and to have an eternal perspective. Lord, will you grant them their heart's desire, and will you help them in all of their needs? We pray for Brother Wayne Schumann, who is recovering from his fall and from my surgery and is waiting for a knee replacement surgery. Lord, will you help him and be near unto him and grant unto him comfort? We also bring the needs of our brother Bill Lovzo before you. Lord, you know the struggles that he has, the continuous pain with rheumatoid arthritis. Lord, will you help him and be near unto him and relieve the pain that he is always experiencing and grant him comfort from above. Lord, we ask you to remember all the widows and the shut-ins and the seniors in the congregation. Will you help them in their loneliness? Will you be their friend and helper and their comforter and be near unto them in all of their needs? We pray for our pastor. Will you help him as he studies your word from week to week? Will you bless him and give him insight into your word? Be with Wendy and the children as well. Them, and will you help him as he must divide his time between his work and his family? And will you grant him all the grace he needs? Will you also remember our emeritus pastors, Pronk and Scholes? We are thankful that they are still able to bring your word. Lord, we ask you to be near unto them, that they may be strengthened, that they may be able to continue to preach, and that you will use them for the furtherance of your kingdom. Lord, we ask you to help us in all of our needs, and may the prayer of our hearts be, O Lord, remember me in grace. Let me salvation see. The grace thou showest to thy saints, that grace reveal to me. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now sing stanza 2.
Congregation, let us come before the Lord in prayer once more and ask for his blessing upon the crops and for the farmers and for the food industry. Let us pray. Most gracious, good-doing, merciful Lord, we come before you humbled in this time of prayer with thankfulness for everything that you have provided us with. Everything that you have set before us, Lord, everything around us, comes not from ourselves, but comes from your hand, and your hand only. And we put our faith and our trust in your hands, Lord, because we know that you alone are in control of all things. You alone will provide for us. You have told us not to worry what we wear, what we eat, or what we shall drink. For those things you know what we stand in need of. But let us first seek your kingdom, Lord, and let us strive to do your will. We stand in awe of your creation and the different seasons, Lord, how they serve a purpose for the many different types of food that you have provided for us. We marvel that tiny seeds grow to feed nations. And as the season comes before us, we ask your blessing on the crops that are planted and that will be planted. We ask your blessing upon the tasks of the farmers and their families, their hired help, that they may all be given the strength, the health, the ability to work the soil, to plant the seeds, to tend to the crops, and also, Lord, that they may be given the blessing to harvest those crops at their appointed times. Grant them the physical and the mental strength to endure the long days, the cold and the wet days, and the hot and the dry days, Lord, and give them also the patience and the trust in you. Be with the farmers that raise cattle, the hours that they toil in providing food, water, shelter, and protection from wildlife for their herds and flocks. The dairy farmers, Lord, who work long hours to ensure that their quotas are achieved so that we may have dairy products. And the chicken farmers, they also depend on quotas and healthy chickens to lay eggs for all to benefit. All this that the farmers may be able to provide for their families as well, Lord. Lord, we ask, will you also bless those with greenhouses? They supply other services such as flowers, plants, trees, the beautiful colors and the smells, the oxygen that is provided for us in the air. All reminds us, Lord, of your majestic power and the works of your hands. Be with the employees who work in the food industry that provide service of preparing the food, packaging the food, and even selling the food. Lord, be with the truck drivers as they work the long hours on the road, bringing the food to their appointed destinations, whether it be for processing, whether it be for consumption or selling. Keep them all safe, Lord, in their environment as they do their jobs. Help us also, Lord, that we continue to step forward to help those within our church family, our neighbors, and our community, whenever and wherever possible. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for giving us that spiritual food that we so need on a daily basis. We thank you for our pastor, and we ask, will you continue to be with him? Grant him your spirit. Give him the health and the strength that is needed, that he may continue to bring forth your word to the congregation, and that we, Lord, may have open ears and open hearts, that we may hear your word, that we may feed off of your word, Lord, that we may grow in wisdom, that we may grow in knowledge, that we can ward off the devil. This food is so needed, Lord, and we ask that it will be provided. Lord, we deserve nothing, yet you have provided everything that we need and so much more. We give thanks and praise to your name for all of our blessings, Lord. We ask that you hear our prayers, and we ask that you forgive us our sins. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We will now sing stanza 3.
Thank you.
Let's bow before the Lord once more to pray for mercy on our leaders and on our world. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we understand who we are and our own inability to change anything, we pray once more for your mercy. We pray for your mercy on our leaders. We pray for our own consistory, that you would grant wisdom. We pray for our chairman, Jeff Postma, ask that you would give to him continued gifts of leadership. We pray for the upcoming synod of our churches and ask that you would grant wisdom and leadership there. We pray for those, Lord, beyond us, people we don't know, but who are leaders in their fields. We pray for leaders in the speaking and publishing world. We pray for news shapers and editors and influencers. Pray your mercy, Lord, towards them. We pray for our local leaders. We ask for your blessing to be on our mayor, Kevin Davis, and the counselors of our ward here, Richard Carpenter and Cheryl Otowski. Lord, may they be leaders for our community. We pray for our MPP, Will Belma, and our MP, Larry Brock. We pray for your mercy, Lord, on our Premier, on the Minister of Health, Christine Elliott. We pray for your hand of sovereign providence and blessing around the election this spring. We pray for our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, his cabinet and his advisors. Lord, may he and those around him realize that their authority comes from you and they need that same mercy. We pray for groups and organizations around us that show leadership. We pray for those policy and research groups. We pray particularly for CARDIS and its influence in conversations with those in politics. We pray for accountability and education groups who highlight aspects or elements of your word that are so easily forgotten by society around us. We pray that you would bless the work of ARPA and the campaign of We Need a Law. We ask for your blessing, Heavenly Father, on all the humanitarian efforts that happen, not just by our church and in this town, but all over Ontario. And yet we pray for your blessing on the Blessing Center and on the food banks and shelters and the hospices. We pray this evening particularly for the Stedman Hospice around the corner, and may it also continue to be a haven for those who need that. We pray, Lord, for those who act as ministers of mercy in the community through conversation and through generosity and through, yes, anonymous gifts and giving, but also in ways of encouraging public work. We pray for groups that do such work around the world. We ask that you would bless Word and Deed and come over and help, and so many other worthy mission organizations. We pray again for the work in Ecuador, that this too would be seen as a work of mercy in another place. We pray for Christian education as it goes out through various formats around the world. We pray for every faithful seminary and your blessing on them. Lord, as we think of the world more broadly, we realize that there's so many things that we're even unaware of that are the result of sin and brokenness. And yet our prayer again is, have mercy, Lord, on the brokenness, the rebellion towards you, against you. But show compassion, Lord, undeserved compassion towards sinners. We pray for your help for those full of anger and angst, lashing out and committing, Lord, thoughtless or actions that are full of hatred. We pray for your hand of strength against the invasive and manipulative nature of technology. May we know how to use it properly. We pray for unrest in nations around the world. Lord, there's nations that suffer long term. We pray for Afghanistan, Burkina Faso, Myanmar. Lord, such tragedy we can't imagine, and yet we pray that you would see these places and have compassion. We pray for the conflict between Ukraine and Russia and its complexities, Lord, of historic and cultural, religious reasons. We pray for the tensions between East and West. We pray for President Zelensky, President Putin, that they too would come to realize they need you more than anything else. We pray for North America and its own tensions. Lord, we pray for peace between races. We pray for peace between economic groups. We pray that we would understand the value of others and in the value of conversation with others. We pray for empathy and sympathy towards others. We ask for your hand of blessing on the challenges of inflation and the cost of living, not just here, but all around the world, especially for young families and those with such limited resources. Lord, we pray for your hand of mercy on those who have no moral compass. And may your word go out then, not just from this place, but all around the world, to your honor and glory, both now and ever. Lord, yours is the kingdom. We trust you are building this kingdom. And yet as you continue to build it, may we be focused on that kingdom. May we be prayer warriors for that kingdom. And may that kingdom be in our hearts and lives so that it would come from this place as well. Lord, hear our prayers. As we begin this season, we confess our need, but we confess that you are our hope, our expectation. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.